Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Okay, welcome to the show. We are Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. ESPN2, all of our great ESPN stations across the country. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Along with Michelle Smallman, all valentined out. Right?
She got the memo.
I'm here.
She understood
I'm
the
ready.
Assignment and she executed.
It's the day of love.
Chris Canty, Evan Cohen. We did not understand the assignment,
no,
obviously.
No, we're the Kyle Shanahan's of Valentine's Day.
I'm worrying about the third Valentine's Day.
Yeah,
the third,
exactly.
It's only the first one. I can't worry about this yet. I'll be all black and gray like CC. We're good. Like, we don't need to wear the pink and the red. We're worrying about 3 years from now. That's what we're doing.
Jeez.
Well, I'm just saying. Good morning, everybody. How's everybody? Okay?
Doing pretty good.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. We're running good. A little late today. Yeah.
We're here.
We were having a good conversation. Good Valentine's Day conversation in the makeup room.
Care to share?
No.
Okay.
It's not for air. It's not for public consumption.
But we got sidetracked.
And when we do Unsportsmanlike After Dark, we can include those conversations.
Yeah, uh-huh,
there you
go.
All right. Anyway, so we were waiting for something, and we got it. We were waiting for Kyle Shanahan, head coach of the San Francisco 49ers, of course, to speak to the media, post all of the drama around what we heard around the overtime decision-making in the Super Bowl, and we wanted to know what the fallout was going to be with Shanahan. So let's take a listen, first off, on the players not knowing the new playoff rule, the new overtime rules in the playoffs, excuse me.
We did say, and we told everyone as we were waiting for the coin toss, hey, review everyone with them, make sure they're sure before we go out. So we asked the position coach to do that, but no, I didn't cover it in a meeting on the Super Bowl week. I don't think that changes anything. We did it with our analytics department. We decided that going into the playoffs, what, you know, I think you guys know how I've explained how I make decisions with that stuff in the past. I take all the information I can get, especially ones I haven't been in, and our analytics felt that was the best way to go. But as you guys know, I don't always just go with that. I take into account what they say, what they think is right, and then I go off my gut in the heat of battle. And I knew what they felt going into it. And when I think about that during the moments I have to make the decision, I think the type of game it was did match what they felt was the best way to do. It did seem more like a field goal game. And our defense had been out there for a real long time right before that. So I didn't feel at all to override that at the time.
You're right.
No, I'm not. All right. Can you see the steam coming out of my ears?
Yeah.
I was going to go to another piece of sound, but now I'm just like, let him go.
No, don't give me another piece of sound, because I hate this about analytics, right? Coaches use this as a crutch to defend decisions that don't work out, and it's clear and obvious that you made the wrong choice. And here's the problem with consulting with your analytics department and basing it off of their models, what you're going to do in overtime. We haven't seen this in the playoffs in the last couple of years
since they
changed the rule. Quite literally, you don't have any information to base your model off of. So whatever football philosophy you come up with based on the analytics, it ain't going to work. And here's the thing, Smalls, for the life of me, I still don't understand the rationale for taking the ball first. Now, I was on Get Up yesterday, and Dominique Foxworth and Dan Graziano, they were trying to convince me that there is some kind of rationale for taking the ball first. I have yet to find an angle where it actually makes sense to take the ball first in overtime when there is no absolution that can happen regardless of what you do on that possession.
Yeah, what was their rationale behind that?
No, they just kept saying that there was a rationale.
Oh.
It's out there. It's there.
It's in the analytics.
It's in the numbers. There's some kind of rationale,
okay.
But nobody can explain to me what it is. Nobody can tell me what it is.
So I got to be honest. I had a moment last night. I'm working on my notes, which, of course, I'm a psychopath and handwrite everything still in 2024. I'm normal. And I hear this sound, and I'm doing my notes on it, and I wrote something down, and I had this moment of like, I'm really dumb because there's no way I could be right about this. And then you just said what I was thinking, so I must be right. How do they have numbers on something that's never happened? How can
you
have analytics? That's like saying on September 4th, the day before we started the show, here's the analytics on how Unsportsmanlike is going to go.
Yeah.
How would you know? We never did a show. You could use other situations, but you've never had the three of us in a situation. It's how do you do that? I literally thought I must be going. I know I'm not Kyle Juszczyk and didn't graduate Harvard, but how do you use analytics on something that's never happened? 0% of the time, 0% happens. It's never. We've never seen it before.
Also, that
so
does,
I am right about this.
You are right about
okay.
it.
Okay, I mean, I was losing listen, it last night.
Unless, if you're wrong, we're both wrong. Because I've seen it the same way you're seeing it.
Also, it doesn't explain why the players weren't aware of the rules. Whatever analytics or whatever model you're looking at, then why aren't your players prepared and knowing the rules and the potential overtime situations that could arise? That there's still no answer for that.
Yeah, I mean, basically, he abdicated his responsibilities as a head coach in saying, I'm putting the onus on the position coaches to explain it to the players, a refresher, quote unquote, right before we go out on the field for the first possession of overtime.
That's not enough.
What?
Mm-mm.
You had 2 weeks to get ready for this game. I don't understand how you can delegate that responsibility with the stakes being what they are. If nothing else, you're going to huddle Brock Purdy and the offense together, all 11 guys, and say, hey, fellas, this is what we got. These are the overtime rules. We got to go out here and treat this, you know, however we want to treat based on our philosophy. But this is going to be our approach. This is what we got to get done. And we know that Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs are going to get an opportunity to possess the ball no matter what we do. Now, I get people are saying, well, it doesn't necessarily change anything with the 49ers players' approach. There's no material difference. To that, I would say what we saw with the players not being aware of that situation is a microcosm of a bigger issue that the 49ers face, which is the team not being as prepared as the Kansas City Chiefs. Because when we heard everybody from that KC locker room talk about the situation, they said, yeah, we knew exactly what we were going to do. We were going to kick if we won the coin toss, and if we didn't, and we were going to go down and score, we were going for two. The game was going to end there. We weren't going to play for the third possession, which would be sudden death, because we didn't want the game to be out of our hands.
Right.
That was their approach. They all knew it. They talked about it throughout the course of offseason, training camp, and the regular season, not to mention the postseason the last several weeks. So I don't understand how Kyle Shanahan can try to justify his decision in hindsight. We're 48 hours removed from it, so that part of it is just absolutely egregious. But then can try to use his assistant coaches for cover for his players not knowing the situation.
But wait, there's more. Here's Shanahan on relying on the analytics to make that decision.
Analytic decisions are made on a piece of paper, so you can read that and understand math and what they think about going off that. But that's why I always make it in a heat of battle with that information. And I mean, if it was like the Super Bowl the year before, the one that seemed more like a shootout, I think I might have felt a little bit differently. But having that information going in and the way ours was going, I didn't feel differently. I felt accurate with what they had recommended.
I'm just trying to understand. So this rule was instituted 2 years ago. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. Okay, so last year's Super Bowl between Kansas City and Philadelphia did not go to overtime.
Mm-hmm.
Did any playoff games last year go to overtime?
I don't believe so.
And no playoff games this year went to overtime?
No.
So this has happened zero times.
Yeah.
So the analytics department, we're relying on our evidence of zero that this has ever happened.
Yeah.
What are we talking about exactly?
Projecting, I guess.
How?
Simulations.
How?
I don't know.
I mean, seriously, how do you do that?
That's like, I don't know.
I don't understand.
I was
that
told
happens.
There will be no math in this show.
But again, I keep giving
or this career.
But I keep giving stupid examples. But Smalls, pitchers and catchers report today. Okay, what would a lineup look like if only 8 guys batted instead of 9? We've never had that.
Yeah, no clue.
Right. So how do we? I literally don't understand what he's talking about. What analytics is he talking about right now? And this is the thing that I'm very confused about, because he added to the story yesterday. He actually made it worse. If he just sit there and said, listen, this is on me. It's my job to put our players in the best positions to succeed, to tell them everything, to teach them everything, to coach them up as best as I can, to motivate them as best as I can, and to put them in a spot to win and make the right decisions to win. And I didn't do that on Sunday. This one is on me, and I've apologized to my players, and none of them deserve any blame. This one's on me. Well, we got really very little to talk about at that point. When he's saying his position coaches were supposed to talk to the guys, and he didn't have a conversation with them prior to this, them about this, you're relying on analytics when nothing has actually happened. Now, John Lynch, the general manager, gave a reason or an excuse, however you want to look at it, as to why they took the ball first in overtime. This one makes a little bit more sense that maybe than Shanahan's, but still probably not an acceptable answer for somebody over here who played 11 years in the NFL and won a Super Bowl. Let's listen to Lynch.
Some other context. I believe we just closed, I think it was 11 play drive that we just closed the game with. And when you're playing Mahomes, you're chasing him a lot, you know. So there's a lot of effort that's expended. I think, you know, the context from there is you need some time to get fresh. And so all those things play into it. And those were sound decisions.
Hey, football nerd, let me try to save you from yourself and let me give a practical example or a practical reason as to why it makes sense to take the ball and put your offense on the field. Your defense was tired. Let's go with that one. Your defense was tired. John Lynch played, Hall of Fame player. Like, John Lynch understands the heat of battle and understands the ebb and flow in complementary football. So maybe this could actually serve as a defense. If Kyle Shanahan didn't open his mouth right after the Super Bowl and tell us that he was playing for the third possession. Like, in that moment where you're vulnerable, when your emotions are still raw, you're going to give us the truth, right, Ev? Like, you're going to tell us exactly what was on your mind.
Or say nothing.
Or say nothing. But he gave us something.
Right,
he did. And what he gave us doesn't make sense. He gave us the excuse of planning for the third possession, which is not guaranteed to happen. And based on what we heard from the Kansas City Chiefs camp, it was never going to happen. It was only going to be a two-possession overtime. And that's based on the rules guaranteeing each team a drive. So that's what it was going to be, regardless of what happened, whether you kicked or received. Under those circumstances, it makes no sense. It makes no sense to take the ball first. There is no absolution in the first drive of overtime.
But analytics of something that's never happened told them to do so.
Yeah, but that, how does that make sense, though?
I don't understand.
Exactly.
And I don't think there was a playoff game last year after the rules were...
No, there wasn't. I just went back and checked.
Yeah, there was no overtime.
There's no overtime.
And even if there was, are we going to do analytics based on one game? It's not enough of a sample size.
But that's the flaw in his thinking. But here's the part that scares me.
Yeah.
Listen, it's a bad mistake, and you got to mend fences with the guys in your locker room, the people in your organization. What becomes dangerous is... you double down on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's one thing to make a mistake. Everybody messes up.
Mm-hmm.
But to be in denial about your mistake, to not want to acknowledge it, and furthermore, to throw your position coaches under the bus, your assistants, I'm going to throw them under the bus. They were the ones that were supposed to tell the players when it's clear and obvious that the players didn't know. I told my coaches, my lieutenants, hey, you guys do it. Even though that's a head coach responsibility when it comes to strategy.
Yeah, but they also didn't do it, so that's a reflection on you.
Exactly. They're your guys.
Either way, it comes back to you. So I didn't think that was a smart approach.
Yeah.
Well, I could say we ended there, but Kyle Shanahan also doubled down on another take about him being a big game coach. He's never won a Super Bowl, yet he's a big game coach. We'll get to that next. It's on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. Evan Canty and Michelle are unsportsmanlike.
1 year from now, we're going to be talking about Kyle Shanahan potentially getting fired. They haven't won a title in 29 years. Like, that's hard to say, but it's true. They've gotten there. They haven't won a title in 29 years, and that's not what the 49ers are about.
There is not a coach whose name is not Andy Reid who's having more consistent success in the NFL right now than Kyle Shanahan, and the San Francisco 49ers are glad to have him.
It's just kind of unfortunate that who they went against, but yeah, I have full confidence in Shanahan.
You know what's interesting about what Dan Graziano had to say there? And I heard this on SportsCenter all night with Jay Reynolds coming into our show. Do you know that since Kyle Shanahan has been the head coach of the Niners, I want to say it's 7 years, they have the sixth most wins in the NFL? I would have thought they were first or second.
Yeah, me too.
They have the sixth. Like, he's great, but maybe we've overstated the greatness by an inch or two. And what Chris Carlin versus Joe, noon until 3 Eastern here on ESPN Radio, said is what we started to say yesterday as well. Like, we're not that far away from the Niners and Shanahan saying, this has been an amazing run, but maybe we go Andy Reid Philly style and you go somewhere else and win it and we bring somewhere else in here and win it. And that's kind of where it goes. Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save nearly $750 on average. Okay, so we know the overtime decisions. We've discussed that a ton. But now Kyle Shanahan has 28-3 as the offensive coordinator on his resume. He has a blown 10-point lead against the Chiefs the first time in the Super Bowl. And now he's got a blown 10-point lead against the Chiefs the second time in the Super Bowl. And he's a big game coach, maybe, Coach Shanahan?
I mean, you'd love to fix perception because I would love to win one for what I know about football and stuff. And I know if I fix perception, that means I did everything I wanted to do, which isn't fix perception. It's win a damn Super Bowl. But I also know, like, when you say big games, like, we've got to win a bunch of big games to get to Super Bowls. We've won a lot of big games here. We've won a lot of big games to get into playoffs. The fact that we keep getting there shows you guys how much we've been win games or big games, and I think you guys are aware of that. But it's, you know, these two Super Bowls have been tough, losing to Kansas City. But to think that if we win that, that means I can win a big game? No, that means our team won the Super Bowl. That's what I understand. You guys can have any narrative you want, but, like, the success or the failure, it comes down to one game. And I hope that I can be a part of a team that wins a game at the end of the year. But to say that the Niners can't win a big game would be an extremely inaccurate statement.
Okay, so a couple of things on this. First of all, he's not wrong about everything he said there. They have won a lot of big games.
Sure.
If it were me and I was sitting there after losing a Super Bowl again, I would not lean into the fact that my team or myself, I would be considered a big game anything. I would just say 0-2 in the Super Bowl.
Why are you even answering the question, though?
I agree.
Like, that's the part where you're going to find yourself on the losing side of it. That's a setup. Like, do you think you can win the big game? Until we prove...
Ask me. Let's play it out.
Well, here's the thing. Before we do that,
yeah.
I want to say this. Until you actually do it, then there's always going to be that question. And that's the nature of the business, which is okay. So, I mean, if I'm asking you the question...
Yeah, we'll role play here.
Hey, Kyle, do you think you can win the big game?
Haven't yet. We're 0-2 as a team in the Super Bowl. We need to do this.
That's it. It's that simple. You shut it down.
Not I, we.
Exactly. You act like you're speaking French. You say we. But it's just, it felt like a lot of I in terms of Kyle Shanahan trying to find some wiggle room as to, you know, why, you know, this team hasn't had success and who exactly there is to blame for that. Like, that's what it felt like the entire press conference.
I'm not giving you ammo.
With having his wingman John Lynch up there alongside him, it felt like that was the backup because Kyle knew that the bullets were coming. And my thing is this. Don't hide from it. There's a reason why we have the adage in the NFL, players win games, coaches lose games. Mm-hmm. Just wear the L, bro. Just wear the L. It's what it is. It's the nature of the business. The head coach is going to get blamed when things go wrong. That's where people turn to first. It's a part of the gig. It's a part of the job responsibility. So I don't understand why he's sitting here trying to deflect and why he's trying to spin when we all know the results of the game, which is your team wasn't good enough. And a big part as to why your team didn't have success had to do with some all-time coaching gaffes that you had. Whether you want to talk about not using the timeouts on the other side of the 2 minute right before the end of the first half, where you let Kansas City bleed the clock before a field goal. If you want to talk about the opening drives in the second half, where you had 3 straight 3 and outs, including Brock Purdy dropping back the throw on 8 of 9 of those plays. Or you want to talk about the overtime decision. Either way, all of those things fall on you as the head coach. So don't try to deflect when it comes to the blame game because the buck stops with you.
And he's not wrong in saying that they have won some pretty important games. Obviously, getting to the Super Bowl is an accomplishment in itself. But when you've fallen short yet again in the Super Bowl, I don't think saying we've won big games is going to serve you at all. To me, even whether he meant it to or not, it's almost saying, like, we've accomplished a lot.
Yeah, and that's what it sounds like.
And you should be saying, we have not accomplished what we wanted to. Like, he's almost trying to defend himself and defend the record by saying we have won a lot of big games to get here in a roundabout way. But the only thing the fans want to hear, and frankly that your players probably want to hear in that moment, is we didn't get the job done, and we're going to make sure when we get back here, we're going to get it done next time.
Yeah, we accomplished a lot, just not as much as the Los Angeles Rams, who happen to reside in our division, with Sean McVay, their head coach.
Right.
I mean, Sean McVay has 77 wins since 2017, since Kyle Shanahan got it. He's got 77 wins.
More than the Niners?
Yeah, more than the Niners. So the Niners have 72 wins, when we're including playoffs as well as regular season. 77 wins for the LA Rams during that time, and they got a championship. That's the point. And I think you hit the nail on the head in terms of changing the perception, Ev, around Kyle Shanahan, because everybody wants to compare him to Andy Reid. And I get it, because we just saw him head-to-head with Andy Reid in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But may I pose an alternative for Shanahan? Dan Reeves.
Hmm.
Dan Reeves. Here's the thing. People don't remember Dan Reeves, but there's irony, because Mike Shanahan was one of his assistants way back when with Denver. But here's the thing. Dan Reeves went to his first Super Bowl as a head coach when he was 42 years old, 1986. He had a quarterback named John Elway. 1986. From 86 to 89, they went to three Super Bowls in a four-year span. He also went to a Super Bowl with the Atlanta Falcons in 1998. Dan Reeves, 0-4 in the Super Bowl. So everybody wants to presume that Kyle is going to have some success because he's this whiz kid, one of the youngest coaches in the NFL, X's and O's genius on the offensive side of the ball. So was Dan Reeves. Mm.
Dan Reeves had one of the greatest football careers you'll ever see in your life. I know you're saying that.
Yeah.
I think you bring up an interesting point, because what you're taking is, when people like me bring up he's Andy Reid in Philly, there's an indication that also means he's going to have his Kansas City career.
Yes.
And you're saying, I can't make that leap yet, because nothing has given me the indication that he's going to have the Andy Reid Kansas City career. Now, to be fair, Andy Reid didn't give us that indication when he was in Philly that he was going to have the Andy Reid Kansas City career.
Yeah, but I think everybody's operating under the assumption, because Kyle is so bright and because they've been to a couple of Super Bowls.
And he is, and you've never said otherwise.
Because they've been to a couple of Super Bowls since 2019, the last 5 years. Like, this is an eventuality. It's inevitable that he's going to break through and it's going to happen.
Right.
No, it's not. It's not inevitable. It's not a fait accompli.
No.
And Dan Reeves' career shows us that. Dan Reeves was a hell of a coach. Dan Reeves no football. Dan Reeves no offense. Nobody can take that away from Dan Reeves. But Dan Reeves still ain't win a damn Super Bowl. And if the ultimate goal is to win a championship, there's no guarantee that Kyle is going to do that, even though he has a long runway as a head coach and he's one of the best and brightest minds the NFL has to offer.
Just out of curiosity, because I think it's a really interesting, unique comparison, where did that come from? Like, what made you think of that? Because you just were like, I'm not ready to say he's gonna get over the hump. I need to compare him to somebody who hasn't.
Because everybody is comparing. Like, I mean, you look at all of these outlets. You look at some of our analysts. You look at other pundits. Everybody is saying, yeah, Kyle Shanahan, he'll eventually break through. And it might be a situation where he has to, you know, find his quarterback, find his Patrick Mahomes in order to get it done. Well, Dan Reeves had John Elway. He still didn't get it done.
Right. So you're looking at who's the list of guys, Dan Reeves, Marv Levy, Hall of Fame level, all-time great coaches. Anybody would want.
Won a lot of big games.
Right.
Won a lot of big games.
But they didn't
win the big one.
But here's the other thing, and we want to get calls in on this at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Can you be a big game performer without ever winning the big game? Like, is Chris Paul a big game performer? He's had a lot of good playoff games.
How can you say you are?
I'm asking the question.
Yeah,
Kyle Shanahan's telling you he is. He's never won a Super Bowl as a head coach.
Here's the thing. You can't be a self-proclaimed big game coach, and that's the problem with Kyle Shanahan's
answer. That's good.
You can't then say, yeah, I'm good. I'm good in big games. We won a lot of big games. If somebody asks you the question, if you have to say, hey, we haven't won the Super Bowl, and that's the ultimate goal each and every year. So by that standard, we have failed. And that is our goal every single year. That is the only way to answer that question. Not, we've won a lot of big games. Yeah, you won a lot of big games, but you haven't won the game at the end of the season that matters the most.
Yeah, the biggest game. Can you be a big game performer, coach, or player without ever winning the biggest of games? 888-SAY-ESPN on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save nearly $750 on average. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do. Big, small, and when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
CC has said many of times that the Niners window may be closing, which means other teams may be opening. We'll get to that in just a sec. Let's get some phone calls in at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. A lot of reaction on what happened yesterday with Kyle Shanahan defending the overtime decision and claiming, you know, basically they're a big game team now without winning a big game. Matt in Atlantic City on ESPN2. What's up, Matt?
Yeah, good morning, Evan, CC, and Michelle. So we've seen, you know, Kyle Shanahan, he's a great mind, great scheming coach, but he was out-coached by Andy Reid. That's plain and simple. And the thing is, I said this last week on air, I said Brock Purdy is going to be the outlier in the game. It was actually Kyle Shanahan. The 49ers had to overcome Kyle Shanahan. You know, now he's 0-3 in the Super Bowl. And I think he's going to pull an Andy Reid, and I think he's going to go somewhere else and win a Super Bowl. As much as to the talent that the 49ers have, I think he goes somewhere else and wins. And I want to say this before I hang up. Happy Valentine's Day to everybody out there. Evan, I'm going to be in Philly tonight watching your Miami Heat break the Sixers' heart. Thank you guys very much.
I hope you're right about that. Great win last night at Milwaukee. Typical Heat win. They had travel troubles. They had no Jimmy Butler, no Terry Rozier, no Josh Richardson, nobody playing. And, of course, they destroyed
no
the Milwaukee
problem. Yeah. No problem.
If everyone was playing for the Heat and they were home against the Pistons, they would have lost.
But, see, that's why you can't trust the Milwaukee Bucks, because they blew the doors off the
Something's
Denver Nuggets
weird with
two
them.
Years ago. 2 weeks ago.
I mean, two days ago.
Something's
weird. Something's weird with the Bucks. It just
it ain't right. Well, you know what's weird? It's Doc Rivers as the head coach.
Yeah, but it was weird.
That's
before
weird.
Then.
That's weird.
Weird before them. Before then, excuse yeah. me. Yeah, but like the Kyle Shanahan versus Kyle Shanahan was a theme of our show last week.
Yeah,
it was. But why do we assume that Kyle Shanahan is going to be like Andy Reid and go somewhere else and win?
Because Andy Reid did.
Just
it.
Because Andy Reid did.
Yeah,
it?
That's and you're right. It's illogical logic.
Yes,
I've done it, and it makes no sense.
I mean, we need to judge him based on what he has shown us, like the body of work and the data points from him. And I don't know why we think a change of scenery, given all the talent he's had in San Francisco, is all of a sudden going to make him win in a big game or coach differently in a big game.
You're right. And everybody has the revisionist history. Remember, the Eagles fired Andy Reid. He didn't leave because he wanted to. They fired him. Yeah. They said, you got to get the hell out. Come to the loading dock to pick up your effects from your office.
Brutal.
Like that's how it went down in Philadelphia. Is that how it's going to have to go down for Kyle Shanahan before he can get a fresh start, before he can get over the hump? Like, that's the question that you have to keep asking yourself. And I guess they're using Andy Reid to justify patience with Kyle that he'll eventually break through. But I just gave you the example of Dan Reeves. He never broke through with John Elway. And it wasn't as if John Elway was a quarterback that you couldn't win a Super Bowl with, because one of Dan Reed's lieutenants, Mike Shanahan, ironically, actually did win two championships with John Elway. So, I mean, that's the thing. I think we have to stop assigning that level of success to Kyle just because we've seen him in the big game twice over the last 5 years.
And I also don't want to take anything away from Andy Reid, but he went to Kansas City and got what we're calling the GOAT in waiting, and Patrick Mahomes. I mean, for the situations to be parallel, we're assuming that not only Kyle Shanahan goes somewhere else, but that he gets an all-time great quarterback in the second location.
Yeah.
Yeah, easier said than done.
100%.
Right? Rob in Michigan, listening on Sirius XM 80. What's up, Rob?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Morning.
I think Chris might have touched on it earlier, but I think my biggest issue with Shanahan, you know, he's a great young coach, and I think that youngness kind of showed itself in the maturity in which he tried to handle these follow-up conferences and, you know, blaming his assistants and not really taking any personal accountability. I think that's going to go a long way in the locker room. I know Chris can speak to that better than I could, but I can't imagine walking back into that locker room with those guys is going to be easy after him going out in public and basically not taking any personal accountability for any of the situation. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Yeah, Rob, I'm 1,000% with you. And that's why I said there's going to have to be a lot of mending fences when it comes to Kyle's relationship with his players. And that press conference did him no favors, Ev, in terms of being...
Should've said nothing.
In terms of having some contrition for how things turned out. You are the head coach. Players are trusting you to choose the best path to victory for them. And after all of those players are hearing what we're talking about and then acknowledging that they didn't know the overtime rules, how can you feel confident that this coach is going to put you in the best position to win a championship moving forward? You can't. You can't. Like, and here's the thing. He's taking no responsibility. He's showing no accountability for his role in that team losing that game. It made no sense to take the ball first in overtime, no matter what the analytics department tries to sell you on, no matter what the front office geeks are trying to sell us on. It's just not real. It's a fugazi. It's not real, Smalls. And so I just think as a player, what I want to hear from my coach is, hindsight is 20/20. If I had it to do it again, I would have made a different decision. That's on me. Players win games. Coaches lose games. I'm the reason my team lost the game. At least as a player, even though that might not be factually accurate or all the way true, I can ride with that dude. Because he's showing me that he's in it with me, and he's going to take all of the slings and arrows, even though we didn't play a perfect game. That's the responsibility of leadership. That's a head coach. Kyle Shanahan didn't display those qualities yesterday, and it's highly disappointing. And that's why I'm fading the San Francisco 49ers going into the upcoming season.
So let's go there. Okay, so this is, we've had the disagreements on how long the Niners window is open for. You've said it's done, CC. I think it's open for another year. I think Smalls thinks it's open for one more year here, but to be determined. So let's just play this out. We know that the Kansas City window is open. Let's leave the Niners to the side. I think we have obviously discussed them a ton. Who else can we confidently say right now the window is open for potential title?
Cincinnati Bengals.
Bengals, okay. Number one.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw the Chargers in there.
I agree. CC does not.
I don't trust the organization.
The organization.
Which I understand. The laundry gives you reason to pause, but you know what doesn't is Jim Harbaugh's record.
Agreed.
And the success that he's had.
So where are we at on the Detroit Lions?
The window is open.
Yeah.
I'm not as confident as you guys are on there, but I'm fine. I'm fine putting that window slightly open. I'll close it quickly, though, if I see bad things from them this year, though.
I don't know why, but I expect Dan Campbell to learn from what happened in the playoffs this year.
I do.
I expect him to take what happened in Detroit blowing a 17-point lead and him to make sure that they don't make that mistake again. I don't know why. I just have that feeling about him.
I agree.
Who else?
Houston? I put Houston on the list, and I put the Packers on the list.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I put the Bills on my list.
Okay.
I know you probably don't feel the same, Evan, but...
I need to see... Like, I'm
the Bills
and
the Ravens are in that class, right?
Ravens I'm more confident in. I just feel like they'll be good. I want to see what the Bills do because all signs in my head, now financially it doesn't make sense, all signs in my head point to a breakup between Steph Diggs and Josh Allen.
Yeah.
And I want to understand what that means for the team, what they're trying to do, what they're leaning into and what they're not leaning into. Derrick Henry has become my placeholder for fixing teams,
yes,
which is not fair, but I want to see what team goes out there and pays for Derrick Henry. Because, and the reason I say that is if Buffalo pays for Derrick Henry, that means they're going to say, you know what? We're okay being run first and Josh being a complimentary piece. Same thing with Baltimore.
You got a 500-pound backfield between your quarterback and your running back.
That changes my mind. By the way, what if Dallas does it? What if Dallas does it?
Yeah, you feel he better
changed,
about it.
He changes but my mindset on that window conversation.
But here's why the Buffalo thing makes sense with Derrick Henry. Think about how close they came to ousting the Chiefs. And their formula. We're going to get big. We're going to bring in an extra offensive lineman to play tight end. And we're going to run the ball at you 40 times. Now, substitute James Cook, who's a fine running back in his own right. Substitute James Cook in that scenario for Derrick Henry.
Yeah, it changes my mindset on them. And I think they would have to accept Josh Allen may not be our first option. And that's not an insult if you have a Hall of Famer behind him in Derrick
Henry.
But
if Josh Allen is my number two option,
then you feel differently.
If we're talking about it in NBA terms, if Josh Allen is my number two star, I'm fine with that.
I'm fine with that. I love Klay Thompson as much as anyone. Klay as your number two is amazing in his prime. Klay as your number one, you start thinking, well, he can't dribble. You start picking him apart. Yeah. So we seem to have a lot of teams that their window is open. When Kansas City's still there. Are we sure about this many teams? Because we have Houston, we have Cincinnati, we have Baltimore, Buffalo, we have Detroit, Green Bay. Are we not putting Dallas and Philly in there?
They're not on my list.
I don't trust them.
Okay.
I don't trust them.
I kept San Francisco on my list, and as much as it pained me, I put the LA Rams on the list too.
That's where I was going to go next, the LA Rams. I mean, that was one of the youngest teams in football last year. You know what I mean? And coming back this upcoming season, they're the third youngest team based on the players that they have under contract. The LA Rams could be sneaky. I mean, you've got a quarterback that can win a championship. You've got a pretty good receiver tandem with Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp. And you have arguably the best defensive player in all of football still with Aaron Donald, not to mention a guy that was in the running for Defensive Rookie of the Year in Kobe Turner.
Yes.
So we're leaving.
You got good players on the LA Rams.
Good coaching.
We're leaving out some teams here. Maybe on purpose, maybe by accident. Miami?
They were out for me.
Okay.
Beat somebody good and then you're on the list.
Fair. No, they're a big game coach team.
Oh, my God.
By the way, that's another reason that I really firmly put the Bills on the list because I can't trust anybody else in that division.
The Jets, if Rodgers comes back?
No, I can't go there yet. No.
The Browns, if Watson, let's say, is just an average quarterback?
I got to see it.
Okay. All right. We're not comfortable with that. Jacksonville?
They had a question mark on the list to me, but I couldn't go there.
I can't go there either.
Okay. Chicago, Caleb Williams, I guess we wait and see on that.
Yeah, TBD.
Minnesota, if they bring Kirk Cousins back?
TBD.
Okay.
TBD.
I don't think we could put anybody in the NFC South, right?
No.
No.
I literally wrote, don't feel great about any team in the NFC South. Yeah.
So, like, Houston, Cincinnati. Like,
that's one of those contacts in your phone. Do not answer.
Yeah, don't. Just don't pick it up.
Do not answer.
So, right now, we have Houston, Cincinnati, Baltimore, Buffalo, Detroit, Green Bay, split on San Francisco, and the Rams.
Yeah.
In addition to obviously Kansas City.
That's the list.
So we have seven or eight teams.
So we're unanimous on the Rams.
Yes. Oh, I'm good with the Rams, yeah. I actually think you undersold one thing. You said they have a pretty good wide receiving core. I think if they restructure Cooper Kupp, they have a great wide receiving core.
Yeah.
And not that that matters more than having a great quarterback, but they also potentially, if he's healthy, have a great quarterback.
And they actually have draft picks.
Yeah.
What a novel concept.
And a place that players are going to want to play,
and they've
obviously.
Been drafting well, too.
But here's what I'm tripping off of. We're unanimous on the Rams, and we're not on the 49ers. And the 49ers were just in the Super Bowl.
I put them on the list.
Yeah.
And so did I.
No, I did not.
Coming up, it's a Wednesday, which means our ESPN Power Rankings, Valentine's Day, most lovable ESPN personalities, next on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Happy Valentine's Day to everybody out there. And today, as we do each and every Wednesday, we do our ESPN personality draft power rankings, where we pick a topic and then put ESPN personalities into that draft topic.
Yeah.
Today, most lovable ESPN personalities. Smalls is all decked out for Valentine's Day. She's got the pink and the red.
She's even got the Valentine's Day glasses.
Yeah,
right
I
there.
Mean, come on,
yeah,
Smalls.
She's got the glasses.
There she goes, the hard glasses.
They're really red, though.
Yeah.
Did you not realize that when they were red glasses?
I did, but I had Cece put them on during the break. You should try these on.
All right, let
it's
me
good
have
in, it's good in theory. I don't know that there's a lot of practicality behind it, though. Like, it feels like it's a headache waiting
to
happen.
How do I look?
Good? You look great.
You look ridiculous.
You look
which
lovable.
Is the point.
You look very lovable.
But I just feel like if you wear them for a segment, you're going to have a migraine headache because it's all red.
Do you want me to try it?
I don't want you to do that because I don't want to derail the show.
But it is interesting looking at the lights because it's like a whole different studio.
I know,
here,
right?
These red exactly. glasses.
They are truly
all right, who's going first?
Glasses.
Smalls is going first.
Go ahead.
Okay, so we are allowed to take people that one another have selected, but once we pick somebody, they're off the board for
right.
us.
That is correct.
And I was mining through the list last night to make sure that I hadn't selected my number one overall pick, and I hadn't picked him yet. So I was thrilled to find out that Damian Woody was still on the board for me. How can you not
one.
Love Damian
He was
Damian
on the board
Woody.
For me, too, so I got to cross him
That's
off now.
He is by far...
I can't see where he is with my glasses.
The most lovable person at ESPN. Every time he joins us, he comes in a good mood. He makes you laugh. He's so nice. He's so fun. He remembers things you told him, and he follows up on it. Just such a good person and a great hang. Damian Woody, number one overall lovable person for me.
That's a great pick, and I mean, anybody that can wear a red fur coat, I mean, you have to think that that person is lovable.
Correct.
I hope wherever he is today he's rocking the red fur coat.
I hope he is,
like,
too.
It is Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
That would be the assignment. So execute Damian Woody.
I will
do your job. I will disagree with you when you say he's the most lovable person at ESPN, because I believe my number one pick is the most lovable person at ESPN, the nicest person in the world. And we had a chance to see her last week. The lovely Christine Lisi.
Christine Lisi from
ESPN Radio does our Sports Center updates, and she's just phenomenal. And the best part, like, she's the nicest person in the world, but then she takes it to another level when she brings in the Lisi treats.
Yes.
The Lisi treats are absolutely
great
phenomenal.
Pick.
I couldn't get enough of those last week. I mean, the fact that she brought them in on back-to-back days when we were up in Bristol, it was amazing. I mean, Christine Lisi, she is the absolute best. My number one pick for lovable personalities at ESPN.
All right, my number one pick is somebody I've literally never met, I've never spoken to, and I've wanted to pick this person number one in about 1,000 different drafts. She is the person that told the story on the air about the late, great Kobe Bryant, about being a girl dad, and every time I watch her on SportsCenter, listen to her pod, whatever it may be, she says something funny, she could sing, she's a family person. Elle Duncan, number one overall in the most lovable ESPN personality draft. Now, I've never met her nor spoken to her, but she just seems like somebody that I would sit down with and laugh the entire time.
You didn't see Elle last weekend?
No.
Oh, yeah. Elle was up there, too. Yeah.
No. I didn't see her either. Bummer.
We took an L, now we got to bounce back.
You took
okay.
an L. Exactly. There you go. There you go.
Snake draft, Smalls, or you're going?
The snake draft. Go
okay.
ahead.
Okay. My second one. I have a feeling I may steal from this guy, but I've actually known this guy for a long, long period of time.
Don't you do it.
How do you not love Carlin? Chris Carlin.
Oh, that's a good one.
We'll do a show with him and you'll realize why you don't love him. Yeah, that's all you got to do.
I love Chris Carlin.
Do a show with Chris Carlin
in my life has helped me get many opportunities. He's a guy you could hug, you could talk about anything with. I love Carlin. So Carlin, number two in my most lovable ESPN personality
draft. That's a great pick. I mean, how could you just tell me it was a terrible pick.
How could
you not like a guy that has a built-in helmet walking around every day?
You're up, CC.
It's hell trying to find a fitted cap for Chris Carlin's dome. I'm just putting
the Brian Robinson one.
My God.
the big one with Washington.
Exactly. All right, so for my second overall pick, I'm going with a guy that everybody's familiar with, especially this time of year and in the coming months. This is a guy that has a lot of interesting ways of phrasing things. A very bubbly personality.
I don't know where you're going now.
I mean, he's a friend of the show. He chimes in on a lot of conversations that we have on the show.
And this
is my guy. I mean, listen, I love him from here to the farm and back. With Buster Olney. Not love Buster Olney? Man. He is the absolute best. Robert Stanberry III, Buster Olney. I love it.
Where I thought you were going, but I love the pick.
Buster Olney.
Excellent choice. Love Buster Olney.
All right, Smalls, you got two.
Okay, so to round this out for me, to remind everyone, Damian Woody, number one on Team Smallman, most lovable ESPN people. Number two, he has been picked by one of you two, not by me. It's Jeff Saturday.
Nice.
Jeff Saturday comes in here and he starts saying, bro, I feel like I'm a bro. Yeah. I feel like I'm part of the team. You know, when he's breaking down football, and he's like, bro, can you believe that Kyle Shanahan did that?
And
I'm like, bro, I can't. There's something about Jeff Saturday that makes you want to be his friend and want to be around him. That's why he's probably an amazing coach.
I don't think I've ever said this to him, but I'm going to say it now on our show. When Jeff Saturday got hired as head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, it stunned people, right?
Yeah.
Getting to know him at ESPN, I completely understand why they hired him as a head coach of the Colts.
100%.
I would hire him to run my life. He's amazing, this guy. Yeah. Great pick.
There's just something about his energy that makes you want to follow him into whatever he tells you to do. And last but certainly not least for me, it's Doris Burke.
Great one.
Nice.
Who doesn't like Doris Burke? I think she has a universal positive rating. Everybody loves Doris Burke. She is a legend. She is an amazing woman in this industry who's opened a lot of doors for people. Doris Burke rounds out my list.
Yeah, and here's the thing. My third overall pick, and this was a nail-biter. This came down to the wire. I mean, we had to tally up the votes. We had to count them up. I mean, we had to double-check them. I mean, this was really, really close with my third overall pick. But I have to go with the legendary Lisa Salters.
Oh, good.
Lisa Salters, I mean, she does the sideline reporting for Monday Night Football. She does the NBA on ESPN. She is just absolutely phenomenal in terms of her delivery, her information. She's always objective, giving you the facts that you need to get you primed for whatever game that you're about to watch. And I haven't met Lisa in person, but by all accounts, one of the nicest people in the world. So Lisa Salters, my third overall pick.
All right. Great one. It's interesting.
Stylish Lisa Salters, too.
She's always on point with the facts. Broadcast. So my last pick, I talk to a lot of young broadcasters a lot, right? Like having been a young broadcaster, small CC, like we've all been there. You're talking to different people. I can't tell you how many times I hear from people and they're like, so-and-so is my mentor. He works with me. And I'm like, this guy's amazing. Mike Breen.
Yeah.
Really?
Mike Breen. That's so cool. I swear every young broadcaster in America has been mentored by Mike Breen.
That is awesome.
It's unbelievable. So how do you not love a guy that is at the top and trying to help others get there?
The double bang is iconic. It's iconic. Stop.
I'm just saying. You're saying.
Wow.
We're on Sportsman Life.
I'm not trying to be that way.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.